Okay, tonight we're going to continue our study in Romans. We're going to be in Romans 15 tonight, starting at verse 7. We're still looking at how to glorify our Heavenly Father, our God. And in Romans 15, 7 through 13, we're going to look at the subject of like-minded. Romans 15, starting at verse 7. We're looking at like-mindedness, all right? Therefore, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers and for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy as it is written. Therefore, I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. Again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. Again, Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, Father, for what we're about to receive. Father, you bring joy to our heart by your words. You love us so much, Father, that you do not wish any of us would perish, Father. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for the teaching of the night, Father. I pray that you open our hearts and our eyes, Father, so we may see your truth and we may apply them to our lives so we can bring glory to you, Father. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at the like-minded, having the same mind as Christ, okay? Have you ever wondered what the nature of like-mindedness is, what it looks like? Well, in Philippians 2, if you'll turn over there, we'll read this. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is what like-mindedness looks like. Now, the principles behind like-mindedness is not based on our performance, our response to Him, or our worthiness. It's none of that's based on that. And a lot of us get in trouble that way because we think it is based on what we can do, and it's not. Has nothing to do with that. Has nothing to do with it at all. Like-mindedness is something that the Father had planned from the beginning. When we were actually with him in the heavens, okay, along with our Lord Jesus, we'll find that. So what's it based on? Like I said, it was based on the Father's choice. It was through Jesus Christ to himself. It is his will, and it was his grace that causes this to happen within us. If you'll turn to Ephesians 1:1-6, we'll read this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Some of your translations on that part six there in the last part might say something different than Beloved. Does anybody have a different translation there? Who's he talking about, the Beloved? Jesus. Yeah. Huh? The one he loved, right? Mm-hmm. So he's speaking of Christ Jesus. So, like I said, it wasn't because of our performance. It's not because of our response to him, and it's not our worthiness. It's all the Father's choice. It has always been that way from the beginning. Now, it's proven in Scripture by the promises by God to the Jews and the Gentiles. If you'll turn back to Romans 15, everybody hanging in there, you're kind of getting a grasp of this? Yes. Any questions so far? Okay. Let's look at verses 8 through 12. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision. And that was the Jews, okay? That's what he's talking about there. To the circumcision. On behalf of the truth of God, to confirm the promises given to the fathers. And for the Gentiles, to glorify God in His mercy, as it is written. Therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. Again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. Again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise Him. Again, Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. So there we have the promise that was given to both, well, virtually to all people who were on the earth. Not only the firstborn, but also to those who did not have a covenant before the cross. Now we are all in the same, we have the same like-mindedness. This is what we're looking at. That's what we're studying. If you look at Romans 8, 29 through 30, just a few pages to the left there, 29 and 30, we read this again. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Amen. Yeah, amen. Done that for us because he loves us. And he didn't want to see any of us follow the wiles of Satan. So if you think about it, it's such a beautiful love song. It really is. It really is. It's like I said, it's not based on anything that we do. It's all based on what our Heavenly Father's choice. Okay, go back to Ephesians. Okay, starting at verse 7. Ephesians 1 again. We need to finish reading that. I want you to pay attention to how many times it says, in Him, His grace, His will, His kind intention. Let's just read that together, verses 7 through 13. And it starts out, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth, in Him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first of to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Wow, what a bunch. This is just incredible. All these promises is everything that is written from Genesis to Revelation. We are part of it. We are part of the greatest thing going on in this earth right now. And also in heaven. We're part of it. What Jesus is doing is bringing the whole creation together as one, being one in Christ. Are you grasping all this? I mean, when I first started reading this and putting this together, and with some commentaries and things like that, I was just at awe when I was doing this. It was just things that, you know, I had barely heard of it, just tidbits of it in the past from our Sunday school teachers and pastors that we had in the past. You just get little portions of it. But in this, we see that Jesus is just laying all this out for us, just showing us that we're part of something fantastic. And we're not to take it lightly. It's just incredible. So we have these promises that were made to the Jews and the Gentiles. Now Jesus confirms these promises in John 1, if you'll turn there, 11 and through 13. He came to His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to Him He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So Jesus confirms these promises that we have. In addition to confirming those promises, Jesus also desired one thing, that the Gentiles would glorify God the Father for His mercy to the circumcision. Speaking of the Jews, the Israelites, okay? So there was a concern back then that among the peoples that the Gentiles would not give glory to God. And Satan has crept in there. We've heard of replacement theology. That was part of it too. He tried to put a stop to all this, but he can't. There's no way that he can do it. So Jesus confirms that, and he also wanted the Gentiles to glorify God and His mercy to the circumcision. In Romans 11, 25 through 32, we read about this. I see the wheels are turning out there. It's written, "For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written. The Deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you once were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience, so these also now have been disobedient, that because of the mercy shown to you, they also may now be shown mercy. For God has shut up all in disobedience, so that He may show mercy to all." Oh, that was 25 through 32, Romans 11. Now in verse 12, back to 15, we have this wonderful promise, and it has taken place. Verse 12 says, and again Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and we know who that is, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles hope. It's only in him. Only in him. He's done some remarkable and incredible things for us. Now in verse 13, we see the power of his Holy Spirit will accomplish it. For the Father is the source of the power. Verse 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of his Holy Spirit. So the power of the Holy Spirit will accomplish this in us, which has been taking place for quite a long time. From the day that we asked Jesus into our hearts, this was started. Any other questions so far? It's pretty deep. It really is. I mean, it's just, like I said, it's just incredible the things that we're seeing right now. Okay, since there's no questions, go with me back to 15, verse 5. And let's read this together. Okay, everyone there? Out loud. Let's read this together. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now before we can give glory to anyone or anything, we must know them completely. How many times have you heard our pastor say that how important it is to have that personal one-on-one relationship with our Lord, with our God? We've heard it countless times from him. So before we can do that, we have to know him completely. So I've taken the privilege of taking and typing out some things for you to study. And it's my Heavenly Father is the God of. Okay? And this is just partial. So let me pass these out. And on your own time, you can have a nice little Bible study, just you and your Heavenly Father. So our Heavenly Father is the God of, and we have to know him this way. And it starts out, he's the God of heaven. And if you want to go over a few of these right now, we have a few minutes to do this. So Nehemiah 2:1. And if you're already there, go ahead and read that. Isaiah 48:2. And we can go back and see the Jews and the Gentiles, Romans 3:29. All flesh, he's the God of all flesh. Jeremiah 32:27. So I know I got this one right, because I remember reading it. He's also the God of the dead and the living. Mark 12:27. He is not the God of the living, or he is not the God of the dead, but of the living you are greatly mistaken. Yeah, he's the God of both. Judgment, he's the God of judgment. Malachi 2:17. Like I said, if you're already there, go ahead and read it. He's the God of judgment, justice. He's also the God of truth. Back to Isaiah 65:16. And we all know this one. He's the God of my salvation. That's Psalms 18:46. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. Amen. Amen. Yeah. He's the God of glory, also in Psalms 29:3. Just a few more pages. Amen. He's also the God of my life. Psalms 42:8. Amen. He's also the God of my strength. You're at 43:2. Mine says different. Yeah. He's also the God of my mercy. Psalms 59:17. He's the God of patience and consolation. And we just read that. Romans 15:5. He's also the God of peace. Romans 15:33. We can go all the way back to Romans. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. He's also the God of comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Amen. And while you're right there, he's the God of love and grace. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Amen. Yeah. He's also the God of all grace. 1 Peter 5:10. I love this one. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Amen. Oh, he went through that Bible study real quick. No, Isaiah 54:5. Yeah, that was also, it says Israel, but it's Isaiah also, 48:2. Yeah. It was the first one they had that it should have been 4, right?
Yeah, it was
2:4.
Yeah.
I mean, I get this one finger going too fast, you know. Hunt and punch. So,
at least it can move
fast. It can, yeah. So we know that our Heavenly Father, we can give him all the glory and all the love that's within us because we know who he is. We know what he's doing. We know where we'll be in the future. So we lack nothing on this earth right now.
Amen.
We are completely supplied by our Heavenly Father. Yeah, amen. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for what we have received. Father, it is a wonderful, wonderful thing to know that you are the God of all of us, not only the living, but also the dead, Father. For they will rise, and they will be judged, just as we will also, Father. So, Father, we thank you for who you are. And, Father, I pray that all of your enemies will be eventually be put under our Lord Jesus Christ's feet. And I pray and look forward to that day, Father, when the fullness of all things are completed. So we thank you for that, Lord. We do look forward to that day. And Lord Jesus, if you are coming back in 2017, remember us, Lord. For we do love you, and we know that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.